I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone, like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands in this, is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Now, if you can turn to page 558, Psalm 29, 558. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, "Glory!" The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Liana, and it might be useful to keep our Bibles open. If you're 10 to 14, I think you should have a kind of a sheet to help you at this time. And I do hope that you find this time with us helpful to understanding the Bible. And so at the moment, we've been thinking about the story of Jesus leading up to his crucifixion. Before Easter, in a little break, we're looking at some psalms. And we thought about a psalm last week. And this week, we're looking at Psalm 29. Now, it's wonderful that in our congregation, there are people from so many different places. And you will see the physical world perhaps differently. So I think of a mountain like Ben Nevis. it's about 3,000 feet, something like that. But you might think, in my country, where I come from, mountains are huge. 3,000 feet, not very big at all. But I hope that, however we see the world, we see something of God. Perhaps we see a sunset and we think of God's peace. Or we see a TV program about sea life and we are amazed at the ingenuity and variety of God's creation. Or maybe we look at the mountains and feel something of the awesomeness and the eternity of God. And indeed, in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it reminds us that the world's existence and its beauty and its form tells us something of God's presence and also of his character. And the writer of Psalms 29 is looking at the world around him and he observes the storms that come over the north of the country from the Mediterranean Sea, that roll over mountains and further inland, and they speak to him about the awesomeness of God's voice. And the psalm is like a thick sandwich with a thin topping at the top, sorry, a thin sandwich piece of bread at the top and a thin piece of bread at the bottom, and then a big, thick filling. Yummy. Now, the sandwich is a bit like, the top of the sandwich is a bit like the opening two verses, which speak to us of God's glory. Then the bottom of the sandwich is like verse 10-11, about God's presence on earth. And then we have verses 3-9 being the filling. And that talks us about the voice of God that links heaven and earth. And it's worth noting, when the Psalms were written, they weren't like my poetry at school where you just write anything down. Psalms were always carefully constructed by the writers, and they would often use numbers. They would often use Hebrew letters of the alphabet as a template to construct their poems. And we'll come back in a little moment about that. So the psalm builds on the presence of God and his power of his voice. And it has much to teach us today, even though this psalm was written about 3,000 years ago. So the first two verses tell us that we see God in heaven, and it's an amazing place where he should be worshipped, because he is due to that praise and glory. And this is what it says. It says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, or you mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And again, the third time, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. It says three times, ascribe. So what does ascribe mean? Well, first of all, it's not a half-hearted request, but an emphatic command for the people there around in heaven, the angels that we call mighty beings or heavenly beings. They are there to praise God because he deserves that praise. Ascribe means give to somebody the qualities they deserve. And specifically, it tells us the qualities of God are glory, strength, and holiness. And these verses tell us something about the awesomeness of God in heaven, the place where God lives in all his glory, strength, and holiness. Now, we might think of the coronation last year, which was, wow, it's kind of very grand, and the kind of world looked on and said, wow, it's an amazing ceremony. And there was much glory and pomp and ceremony about it. But that has nothing to compare to the place where God is and how God looks and feels. Where he has that glory, where he is worshipped and he has strength. So we might summarise the top of our sandwich as being the place, telling us about the place where God is. He is glorious. He is holy. He is strong. And then we come to the bottom of the sandwich, verses 10 and 11. And they that says something to us about the earth. That is where we are. It tells us that there God is enthroned or sitting above the flood. So this is not a picture saying that God's in heaven and we're down on earth and the two are separated. No, it's saying God is in heaven, but his presence is also here on earth as well. We're not living in a world where we can just get on and do as we like. God is here with us. And then we have the middle bit, verses 9 and 10, verses 3 to 9. And this is the filling, the yummy bit in the middle of the sandwich. So we have heaven and the earth. But the question is, what connects the two? And you'll see the bit that connects the two is God's voice. God's powerful voice is what connects us. And so we're going to look at verse 3 and 11. And firstly, you will see that the voice of God is the thing that connects us. It refers to the voice of God 7 times. If you've got a quick mind, you can quickly count them up. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. I wonder, when it says that 7 times, what that number reminds you of. Well, creation was created in 7 days. And for the ancient Hebrews, the number 7 refers to perfection. So the psalmist is saying to us, the voice of God is perfect. He is a creating voice that connects heaven to earth in a perfect way. But what about this voice that makes it special? Well, the writer recalls the storms that happen over the sea in the Middle East, the Mediterranean things. And when he sees these storms, he thinks of the voice of God. It's a bit like when we see a sunset and go, wow. And here we see a powerful storm brewing up over the sea. It's a bit like this diagram. It looks a bit scrawly, but it shows us what this psalm is about. Because these are real physical places that he's referring to. I can't write Mediterranean Sea. So when it says the sea, it's referring to the Mediterranean Sea. So when you see the storm starts over the sea, and then it comes over the cedar trees and smashes them. And I've got a picture of some cedar trees here. Cedar trees were huge things. Lebanon was well known in the north of Israel, was known for these mighty trees. They were huge. And they used to use them for building big projects like the temple and palaces. You can read about how David had an arrangement, Solomon had arrangements with the king of Lebanon, bringing these huge cedar trees down to help him build his palaces. The storm was so powerful that it broke these huge trees. And you'll see there, that's the flag of Lebanon. Don't even recognize it. And they have on their national flag a cedar tree because the country is famous for those huge trees. So back to this diagram. So we see that the God's voice, this storm, comes from the sea over the cedar trees. And then in verse 6 it says this, he makes Lebanon leak like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. Lebanon was known for its mountains. Syrian was what's known as, we now know as Mount Hermon. That's a picture of it. It's huge. And what he's saying, the psalmist, is that God's voice makes these mountains dance around and jump around like young animals. And then there is more, because we see the storm goes over the mountains. It hits the forest of oak trees and twists them, the oak trees. And then it hits the wilderness of Kadesh. And again, Kadesh was a real place. And the forests are stripped out as God's voice speaks. And you'll see in verse 9, and all in his temple cry glory. All in his temple cry glory, because they see the voice of God speaking. And they go, wow, it's a glorious, powerful voice. And in our reading from Revelation, where John had a vision of Jesus in heaven, where he's resurrected, when Jesus ascended back into heaven after his resurrection, he says this in verse 15. He says his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Jesus' voice was like the sound of rushing waters. This voice of God is not something you want to mess around with. What this is telling us is that God's voice spreads over the earth. It starts over the sea and spreads over the whole land, over the mountains, the forest, the wilderness. It's not a voice to ignore. It's not a voice that we can just think doesn't matter. And finally, we come to the bottom slice of bread. In verse 10 and 11, we see the presence of God on earth. It says this, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Now we see that God sits over the flood. And we can think that the storm leads to flooding. We've often seen that in our country and other countries. Very sad when people are dispossessed from their homes. We also remember that the flood was when a time when God judged the earth. The voice of God has a purpose. And these last verses spell out what something about the presence of God and what the purpose of the voice is about. And we see that he is described as the King. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. In our country, we have a king. Other people have other arrangements. But the King who's the one who brings rule and order and who we are accountable to. We have King Charles. Now, some people say, well, he doesn't have much power. But unless he signs off the laws that we made in our country, we won't have any laws. At the end of the day, the king is the one who signs off our laws, though he is the one who brings order to our country, although he does it through an appointed government. The king is the one who brings order. The verse says that he will sit over the flood as a judge, perhaps as in the days of Noah. The Lord's kingdom is about bringing order. And the verse makes clear, God is not here to scare us. The voice of God and the storm is not to make us fearful. It's not just about making us do things and that we don't want to do. It's not about spoiling our fun. What this passage tells us, we can see it. The Lord gives strength to his people. And the Lord blesses his people with peace. This is what God is about. So what links heaven to earth? It is the voice of God. Now we might pause and ask, well, that is not how we think of God's stormy voice here on earth. Where is God's voice when we want to see wars ended? Or poverty taken away? Injustice taken away? Famine ended? A better world for our children to grow up in? Isn't this where we want to see this powerful God speaking? And it may feel, actually, that God today appears weak. We don't feel as though we're hearing God's voice smashing the darkness. Well, the Bible explains that Jesus is God's voice. We saw that in the image of Jesus in our reading from Revelation. And the opening of John's Gospel tells us that God's voice was there in the beginning. And then in John 1 verse 14, it says this, and these words will be familiar to us. We often read them at Christmas. It says, the word that is Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory. That's John and the apostle speaking. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is telling us that God's voice is the one that connects heaven and earth. And this was Jesus. And we read about Jesus in the Bible, and the apostles that we've just read about, heard about, they went on to write to the churches, and Paul wrote to the churches. And so we have the Bible, which teaches us about God's voice speaking to us. And that's why we read from the Bible. That's why we come here this morning. We're in home groups. We read about the Bible because it speaks to us and instructs our lives. In the Bible, we hear God's voice. We read how Jesus' voice stilled the storm on Lake Galilee, how his voice raised the dead, and how his voice cried out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" as he died on the cross. And when Christ died on the cross, this is when he was smashing darkness. This is when he was smashing death. The voice of God crucified for us. The greatest thing, the greatest fear that we have is death. Eternal death, separation from God. And Jesus, the voice of God, died for us so that we might have hope, so that we might know and be with God forever in that place that the psalm describes to us in the opening two verses. God's voice, set out in the Bible, shows us the way, how to live God's way. So how does this psalm conclude? What does this teach us? Well, rather than think of God as weak, what that often means is God doesn't do things the way we want. God is not weak. The psalm reminds us of God's voice, a voice expressed through Jesus. And that voice is powerful. And finally, God's voice is about bringing peace and strength. Verse 11 tells us that he gives strength and peace. God is not inactive, but has a purpose for us. He wants us to have peace. Perhaps in contrast to the storminess of verses 3 and 9, he seeks to bring peace and give you strength for living in this world. The readers of this psalm needed to stand up against foreign gods and powers. That's perhaps why this psalm was written, reminding the people of Israel not to bow down to the Canaanite gods or to get involved with them. It wasn't easy, but God would empower them. 3,000 years on, the world is not too dissimilar. We too need God's strength. We too face many things that attract us away from God. Our culture is not a Christian culture. And we've thought about that in recent sermons as we've looked at abortion and our sexuality in our world. But we too, like the ancient Israelites, can turn to God for his strength and for peace, for the fights and battles that we had. Maybe we faced difficulties. Maybe we felt difficulties of illness. We have difficult subjects at school, at college. We may find people ridiculing our faith. We may have difficult relationships. We may have problems at work that we can't get our heads around. And there isn't sufficient resources for what we need to do. What this psalm tells us is this: God is there. The stormy, powerful God is able to bring praise, is able to bring peace and strength into the situations that we face. God's voice connects heaven to earth. God's voice, Jesus, brings God into our lives, where he wants to bring his peace and his kingdom. So commend this psalm to you. Please do read it when you get home. Look for those descriptions of God's voice. And remember that last verse about he wants to bless you, not scare you with great storms, but bring his strength and his peace into your life. We're going to sing in a minute. Before we do that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at your world and the way it can speak to us. But most of all, we thank you for your voice. We thank you for the voice of the written word, the Bible. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that he is there to bring us strength into the things that we face day by day. And he wants to bring us his peace, and so that our lives will trust and rest in him. Amen.